In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Dear sisters, dear faithful, the solemnities of today's liturgy have represented to us the many humiliations and sufferings of our Blessed Lord's passion and death. The beautiful ceremonies that we have seen this morning are based upon the Word of God, as recorded in sacred Scripture. The Church reads both from the Old and from the New Testament in today's liturgy, which is an indication that those two testaments are inseparably linked. The Old Testament was filled with numerous prophecies and with varied symbolism, but a tremendous cloud of mystery surrounded all of those things. The New Testament served as the fulfillment and the explanation of the Old Testament. And that is precisely why our Blessed Lord observed the Jewish Passover with his apostles the night before he died. The importance of the Passover was supreme in Jewish history. It was the very first law given through Moses, who was God's chosen representative to the Jewish people. And it laid down the right for the first sacrifice of directly divine institution. For the first time, God was telling his people directly and exactly what to do. That rite of the Jewish Passover called for a one-year-old male lamb without blemish for each family. The lambs were immolated in the afternoon, and their blood was poured out in sacrifice before the altar of holocausts. The lambs were then cut into pieces with the greatest care, because none of their bones could be broken. Their fat was then burned on the altar of holocausts. As these things were being done, psalms were chanted in the temple. The lambs were then wrapped in their hides and carried to the private houses, where they were roasted in ovens. The lambs were roasted on spits, which were made from two branches of a pomegranate tree, arranged in the form of a cross. And it was through that sacrifice of the Paschal Lamb that God offered his chosen people the chance of redeeming their own children from the doom of the angel of death, which swept over the Egyptians and killed their firstborn. And so it was that the Jewish people of the Old Testament immolated the Paschal Lamb and offered its blood for the redemption of their own children. Our Blessed Lord, through his exact observance of the detailed ceremonies of Passover, was bringing to fruition what God had already ordained beforehand, not merely through symbolism, but in actuality. All previous Passovers had been symbolic of this one. And this Passover celebrated by our blessed Lord the night before he died, marked the beginning of the divine reality, which was God's redemption, God's buying back of sinful mankind. In the Old Testament sacrifice of the Paschal Lamb, it was the Jews who offered the sacrifice. And it was the lambs which were the victims of the sacrifice. In the New Testament sacrifice of the true and eternal Paschal Lamb, our blessed Lord assumed both roles. He offered the sacrifice, and he himself was the victim. The lambs slain in all previous Passovers were but symbols. And so, finally, the true and the actual Lamb of God had arrived. And that true and actual Lamb of God would immolate himself upon the cross for the salvation of mankind. He would pour out in sheer abundance every single drop of his most precious blood so that the sins of men might be forgiven. It was St. John's account of the Passion that we read this morning during the sacred liturgy. And that account of the Passion in particular sheds special light on the person of our blessed Lord and on the nature of the sacrifice that he offered. St. John emphasizes 3 points with regard to the sacrifice of Calvary. In the first place, St. John shows that our blessed Lord suffered voluntarily, and that itself was the sacrificial act. Whatever he suffered because he willed to suffer it. No one could have forced him to suffer and to die. Those who came to arrest our blessed Lord first fell back and fell to the ground. Their falling to the ground was the result of a miracle. And that miracle was a proclamation for everyone there of our blessed Lord's divine power over him. Our blessed Lord made that very clear at the beginning of his Passion. Then and only then did our blessed Lord offer himself to his enemies, only after manifesting in a miraculous way his divinity. Our blessed Lord then refused St. Peter's offer of violent assistance. He instructs St. Peter to put away his sword. Secondly, St. John points out that the sufferings and death of our blessed Lord are regarded from the point of view of God's divine plan. We read in St. John's Gospel, "Jesus, therefore, knowing that all things should come upon him, that the word might be fulfilled, For these things were done that the scriptures might be fulfilled. The order of this perfect offering of the true and actual Lamb of God had been written in the book of divine ceremonial from the beginning of ages. And finally, St. John insists on the majesty and on the royal bearing of our blessed Lord throughout his passion. References to the kingship of Christ abound in St. John's Gospel throughout the dialogue with Pontius Pilate. St. John must have heard that royal dialogue with his own ears, and therefore he points to Christ the King on the throne of the cross. One of the most striking aspects of Calvary was its clash of powerful contrasts. There were so very many contrasts. There was the bloodthirsty cruelty of the Jews, on the one hand, and the infinite compassion of God, who suffered so many things for mankind, on the other. There was the deepest disgrace in the Pharisees and in Pontius Pilate, while at the same time there was royal dignity and bearing in our blessed Lord and in his blessed mother. There was debasement in the cruelty of the crowd. And at the same time, there was divine forgiveness on God's lips. There was guilt everywhere, covering the skies and the earth in deepest darkness. And yet, at the same time, there was the dawn of the day of our redemption. Good and faithful souls were praying and weeping at the foot of the cross, while reprobates were shouting and blaspheming God at the same time. Calvary was a place of great contradiction and contrast. Guilt was contrasted with redemption, disgrace with honor, lowliness with grandeur. Even the cross itself was a great sign of contradiction. For despite its tremendous ignominy, it nevertheless affirmed our blessed Lord's royal dignity. St. John writes in his Gospel, Pilate wrote a title also, and he put it on the cross, and the writing was, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. That affirmation came through the instrumentality of Pontius Pilate. The Jews wanted our blessed Lord condemned because of his claim to royalty. And Pilate wanted that to be known. The Jews tried to persuade him to change the inscription. But Pilate remained firm. His only reply to them was one of contempt. "What I have written, I have written." He would not yield to them. Unwittingly, Pontius Pilate himself, a pagan, was the divinely providential messenger to those deicidal Jews at the foot of the cross. Their hands were dripping with his blood. And Pilate wanted the entire world to know the reason why. Let us endeavor today to meditate upon these varied contrasts of Calvary. And let us remember that the opposite poles of those contrasts lead in two very different directions. Devotion, prayer, and fidelity to Christ's kingship and to his gospel and to his church, and to her divinely inspired mentality. These things lead inevitably to the throne of the Lamb of God in heaven and to everlasting happiness. While sin and indifferentism and lukewarmness lead to the loss of God's grace and to eternal damnation. Each of us is on one of these paths. It's either one or the other. And the choice lies entirely with us. And so, let us choose always the more noble path, the more sacrificial path, the more virtuous path, which is at the same time the more arduous path, without a doubt. But that is the only path which leads to the happiness of heaven, made possible for us through the great sacrifice that we commemorate today. Let us therefore choose this path. Let us choose it in the same way in which our blessed Lord himself chose to die for us, with all our voluntarity, with our free will, of our own accord, out of love for him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.